Chapter 7. In the shadow of Shaddai, there is liberty. At the start of his earthly ministry, Jesus, the Son of God, walked into a synagogue and declared his manifesto. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. I find it noteworthy that this scripture iterates the promise of liberty twice. The repetition cannot be a mere coincidence. When God repeats himself, it means the miracle is at hand. That the dream was repeated twice to Pharaoh and in two different ways indicates that this matter is fully determined and established by God, and God will bring it to pass very quickly. Genesis chapter 41 verse 32. Get ready, somebody. Your liberty is at hand. It shall happen quickly. The Oxford Dictionary defines liberty as the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by an authority on one's way of life, behaviour, or political views. Freedom is distinguished from liberty by its definition as the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. In other words, liberty gives you the freedom to live your life as you choose. Let me put it into context. To be liberated means you are free from anything that holds you back from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. And once you are liberated, you are free to worship and serve God in the fullness of his purpose for you. God has been in the liberation business for a long time. In the Old Testament, the book of Genesis to be exact, we see that the patriarch Jacob and his sons and their families found themselves in Egypt. The purpose of their sojourn was to be preserved from the famine that had devastated the land of Canaan. They were settled in Goshen by their brother Joseph, the then prime minister of Egypt, whom God had sent ahead. Israel settled in the land and grew. They became a mighty people and were seen as a threat to the security of Egypt. Therefore, the Bible says, a new Pharaoh arose, who did not know Joseph and enslaved the Jews. For about 430 years, the Jews remained in slavery until they began to cry out to God for liberation. God heard them and sent help through Moses. As slaves, oppressive restrictions were placed on them by the ruling authority, Pharaoh. Their way of life, behavior, changed. Free men, children of covenant, had become a curse and a reproach. Their daily activities were now regulated by taskmasters. These taskmasters decided what they should do, when they should do it, and how they should do it. They no longer had the freedom to express themselves as they desired. They didn't have the joy of deciding their destinies for themselves. Most significantly, they couldn't walk in the fullness of the covenant of their father Abraham. Let me bring it home for you. If you were an Israelite living in Egypt at that time, your only career choice was to be a slave. You couldn't decide to be a doctor, lawyer, pastor, teacher, politician, nurse, artist, pilot, sailor, firefighter, or whatever else you decided to be. Your talents and gifts were subjugated. All your relatives and friends were slaves. You didn't know anyone who was not a slave. Your great-grandfather was a slave, and if you lived long enough, you will see your grandchildren being born into slavery. It was your lot in life, your programmed destiny, and there was nothing you could do about it. Period. There is someone reading this book now who has identified a pattern in your life and family. I have seen families who do not progress beyond basic education, whose very existence define poverty, who struggle with childbirth and face other atrocities in life. What comes easy for other people is always a struggle for them. You need to investigate what spiritual authority is ruling over your life if you are in such a situation. What or who has satanically programmed your life to rob you of your God-given blessings? In Tema, where I was raised, we were neighbors with another family of mother, father, and about 7 children. Though I was a child and not spiritually astute, I could tell by the evidence before me that there was an authority ruling over that family. Every social vice manifested in that family. One brother was a convicted murderer, 2 sisters were engaged in prostitution and stealing. One brother was a drug addict, another brother was a popular thief in the community, and the rest were alcoholics. None of them had progressed beyond basic education. None of them married. All the grandchildren were born out of wedlock. Even the pets in the house perpetually looked hungry and depressed. What made it worse was that they set up a small drinking bar in front of their house, and the regular customers were none other than themselves. Whatever income they made from odd jobs went into alcohol. Need I say more? Search your life and discover what authority is ruling over you. The story of Joseph is one I find so inspiring. I don't know if you have full appreciation of it, but his family was a very toxic and dysfunctional one. And yet, God was still able to use him to accomplish great things, even the salvation of Israel. First of all, his father Jacob, with the help of his mother Rebekah, had deceived Isaac and swindled Esau, his twin brother, out of his inheritance. This created deep animosity between the brothers, and Jacob had to escape his uncle Laban to save his life. In his uncle's house, Jacob, in a twist of fate, was also swindled out of the marriage he had contracted for. The woman he had served 7 years for was replaced with her sister, whom he did not love, thus having to serve an additional 7 years for her. With this, the stage was set for bitter rivalry between the sisters. It was so bad, God had to intervene. He closed the womb of Rachel and allowed Leah to bear sons for Jacob. Not only was there bitter rivalry between the wives, but they extended it to their servants also, giving them to Jacob to continue the competition. By the time the Lord showed Rachel mercy for her to conceive, Jacob was an old man. Coupled with the fact that Joseph was a love child and a long-awaited miracle, the Bible says Jacob loved him more than his other sons, and he demonstrated that love by showering Joseph with gifts to the exclusion of his brothers. This added another layer of animosity, for because of that, his brothers, the sons of Leah and the concubines, hated him deeply. Their jealousy and hatred eventually turned into murderous intent. In that atmosphere of competition, jealousy, envy, and hatred, the children of Jacob were full of deceit and manipulation, not even caring how their actions affected their father. Think about it. For about 20 years, Joseph's 13 years of slavery plus 7 years of plenty before the years of famine, even though their father mourned daily for Joseph, none of them was moved by compassion to confess and put their father out of his misery. What a family. The reason I share this is to let you understand that the toxicity and evil of the family of Jacob did not prevent God from fulfilling his word and promises to Abraham. God used the evil of his brothers to turn the life of Joseph around and use all the wounds and trauma he had suffered for a testimony. Know then that it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. God is able to turn your life around if you commit to Him and rest under His shadow, as Joseph did. In the end, he became a type of Christ that saved his family, even the nation of Israel. When I was in primary school, I had a friend who had identical twin brothers with a unique story. Whilst playing, one of them pronounced on the other that he would amount to nothing and would end up a carpenter. The family took it as a joke, but something peculiar began to happen. All the family pictures after that pronouncement showed the cursed twin with a carpentry tool. He would either be holding a nail, a piece of wood, a hammer, etc. Eventually, this twin dropped out of school and ended up a carpenter, while his brother continued in education. There is nothing wrong with the vocation of carpentry if that is your desire and chosen profession. I know very successful carpenters. Jesus and his father Joseph were carpenters. But the kind of carpentry this man is doing is not a high-level professional one packaged to inspire anybody. He is surrounded by poverty. Now, I do not know if his brother's words were spoken in jest, but I do know that it carried enough power to change the course of this boy's life. The words spoken over him had placed a limitation on him, truncated his destiny, and bound him in a situation that was not his choice. Now, take particular note of what I am about to say. There is no neutral ground in this world. There are two opposing powers, two political powers, God and the devil. You are either for one or the other. There is no non-aligned movement. If you don't belong to God, you belong to the devil. If you belong to the devil, you don't belong to God. That is that. You may find it offensive, but this is truth. Your life here on earth and your final outcome depends on which power you align yourself with. Passively going through life with a come what may, laissez-faire attitude is in itself a choice. The unfortunate story of the twin is an example. Even when his family members clearly recognized that the boy was beginning to manifest the curse of the brother, they did nothing. Nobody rose up in the power of the name of Jesus to cancel and reverse the negative words spoken over him. The default position in life is that we are all born sinners into the kingdom of darkness, destined to slavery under Pharaoh, and eventually to hell and damnation. However, this was not God's original plan at creation, but Adam, the first man, sold his birthright, his God-given dominion over the earth, to the devil. The devil became the god of this world, and the world has never been the same again. But I have good news for you. The turning point comes when you make that life-changing decision to repent. Receive forgiveness by accepting the work of Jesus on the cross. Receive him into your heart as your Lord and personal Savior, thereby restoring your fellowship with God. Until you do this, you will continue to walk in slavery and defeat and be dominated by the devil. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Again, until you do this, you are not counted as a child of God. Someone may ask, am I not also a creation of God? Yes, you are. But your fellowship with him got broken by the sin of the first Adam. And that fellowship can only be restored through the second Adam, the Messiah, Christ Jesus. Until you do that, you do not belong to God. Let no one deceive you. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Note that liberty did not come to the Israelites until they pitched camp with Shaddai. Liberty is a guaranteed right to anyone who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Through their prayers, they turned the attention of God to their captivity and received help. So shall you also receive help when you pitch camp with Shaddai. Can I have an amen? Now come with me to Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go, so that they may worship me.'" God heard the cries of the Jews and was ready to step in to deliver them, but there was a purpose to it, so that they may worship me. Child of God, there is a purpose to your liberty. It is not so that you live according to the dictates of your flesh, indulging in all kinds of nonsense and bringing shame to the body of Christ, simply because you have freedom. It is so that you will have a relationship with God, serve and worship Him, now and in the afterlife. Now, when God liberates you, you are set free from the kingdom of darkness ruled by the devil into the kingdom of light, where you walk in the power and authority of Christ, free from satanic oppressions and manipulations, and in the perfect will of God. Let me draw this analogy for you. Egypt and its systems represent the world. Pharaoh was the devil, legislating and perpetuating limitations, restrictions, oppression, and suppression against the children of covenant. For 430 years, this situation persisted and no one could intervene to stop it. Then God came into the situation and through His power and might, exhibited through Moses, deliverance came to the Israelites. Now let me take you back to our opening scripture, reproduced here for easy reference. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus, the Son of God, under the power of the Lord, steps onto the world stage and declares His purpose: to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Did He accomplish this? Yes. How? Through the cross. A number of things happened through His death and resurrection. 1. The devil was defeated. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. 2. Sin no longer had power over us. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 3. We were equipped for victory. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Child of God, if you are in Christ, firmly resting in his shadow, then do a careful study of the scriptures to know who you really are in Christ. Walk in the liberty that is yours. Enforce and enjoy the victory that Christ has won for you. I leave you with this. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. And they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Saviour and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 24 to 26. Your liberty is assured in the shadow of Shaddai.